write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973. Come on in. One person gets a chance to be letter of the day. It's always a thrill for you to be letter of the day. It's chosen by the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. How many people can claim that, huh? Come on! Face the facts. You'll become famous on the Tom and Curly Show. Write to us at mynorthwest.com or text as well. State Roofing text line at 98973. Tom not in on a Friday. I see a pattern developing. Am I the only one? It's like Johnny Carson. There's a reference that probably... What percent Sherry would get the Johnny Carson reference not working Fridays?
I would say probably a full 20%.
Oh, wow. Okay. Broadcasting 20%.
What do you think?
Good. I would hope it'd be higher, but who knows? Woo! That's bracing. Okay. See, Johnny Carson was a guy who's at a talk show, and he would, in his contract, he stopped working on Fridays. Don't know why, but he stopped. Also didn't know why that he could never tell when Doc was there or not there. Doc Severinsen was the band guy, and I guess where the seat was where Johnny sat, he's like, is Doc here? Doc is not here. Is Doc here? Doc is not here. It's like, can't you just look around? Can't you write, isn't it, these studios are a lot smaller than, can't you just see? That he's not there? Is Doc
don't
here?
Don't you think he
Doc
was doing a bit? Here.
Doc is not here. Doc is here. So, yeah, maybe he was. And the other thing was he'd go into the audience and do some stump the audience thing. And then he was always asked, the person was like, you're going to get dinner for two to the coconut room. And then the person goes, well, Johnny, there's four of us. Fred, can we do four? Can we do four? Like the coconut room is not going to give Johnny Carson two extra seats. Right. It was another weird thing about that show. Fred, can we do two? We can. No, there's four of them, so they need two extra seats. We've got two. He's negotiating it on the air on the Johnny Carson show with his manager. We can do four. I'm like, oh, my God. The coconut room is really that strict? All right. Apparently, the Cougars are among us. Well, you knew that if you ever spent any time down in Issaquah on a Friday night. Okay, what percentage of the audience got that joke, Sherry?
I'm going to say exactly 0% got that one.
Oh, no, no. No, the gal's over 45. No, I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. Okay. No, there's no cougar in Discovery Park right now, but watch out. Big cats are closer than you may think. And, of course, Dave Wagner was the guy that had to go out and do this story. So Dave gets sent out there from Cairo 7 to go find the cougars.
They are the unexpected encounters. Whales. Wolverines. And wolves that underscore the wild side of the Pacific Northwest.
Dave working with the letter W today.
But in Western Washington, cougars are king of the forest.
We have these large apex predators that roam the landscape, and that's a good thing. It creates challenges.
In our state, cougars are constantly on the move in their home range.
Males, on average, is about 150 square miles.
And increasingly captured on security and trail cameras.
It wasn't until we got closer that we actually saw the cat's ears, and we're like, it's a cougar.
Last month, cougar sightings were reported in and around Seattle's Discovery Park.
Do we really want a cougar in Discovery Park? Not necessarily. Are they really hurting anything? No. Could he?
Guys like this are great. You don't have to interview them. They basically interview themselves. This guy's already asked himself three questions, and you just can just, I'll wait in the van. You let me know when you're finished asking yourself questions.
He could.
Cougars have roamed Discovery Park. This one 11 years ago, another in 1981.
He's a romping, stomping Tom.
They're just incredibly adaptable.
11 years later, Dr. Brian Kurtzen is still at it.
I've had probably more close encounters with cougars in a week than most people will ever have in a lifetime outdoors.
Kurtzen is a carnivore research scientist. Tracking, darting, and collaring wolves and cougars for the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife.
And we outfit them with a global positioning system radio collars.
Do you have a sense what the population is?
We do. If you look at the total population, it's probably in the range of 3,500 to 4,000.
4,000 cougars?
Yeah, in the state. 3,500 to 4,000 in the state. That's incredible.
He said most people think they saw a cougar, but They haven't.
Vast majority of cougar complaints or reports that we get don't turn out to be cougar. A lot of times they're bobcats. Sometimes they're coyotes. In the more entertaining reports, they're things like yellow labs.
Well, the cougar sighting, ocean shores.
It's not just rural and remote areas seeing cougars.
Cougar currently in a neighbor's yard.
There was a cougar that, very obviously a cougar, and with his loping gait, crossed the trail and looked like entered between the homes.
Bill and Melinda Gates captured a cougar on security cameras outside their Medina mansion.
Here's absolute video of a cougar. In fact, it was right down on his beach.
The average cougar in Western Washington spends about 16% of its time in areas with residential development.
Today, we're standing at the base of Rattlesnake Mountain.
What's the likelihood that a cougar is nearby right now?
Within a couple miles of us? Yeah, there's probably one. At least one, maybe more.
Yeah, the guy realized he had to keep jacking up this the scary part of it, right? Because it was a mile away, and then he goes, could be one, could be many, could be like three, there could be one on top of your head right now.
Romping, stomping.
I guess Jacob was inspired by the fact that the cougar, the giant cougar that was seen around my property and around the area near Sun Country Golf Course, and everybody was concerned because the thing has taken a bunch of dogs, and it's very scary, and it's huge, and we see the tracks, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, what about the Big Tom? His name was the Big Tom. Well, my friend got it, shot it, and sent me a picture of it. I sent it to Jacob yesterday. Right, Jacob?
That's right.
Giant. Giant. The thing is a giant. And now I, because I have the photo of my buddy with the cougar, I'm sending that out to everybody in my neighborhood, if you can call it a neighborhood. And I, in effect, have taken kind of, they're thanking me. And I'm taking full credit for copying, posting, and then sending the photo. Because in a way, that is like tracking a cougar for 7 miles and then shooting it with a bow and arrow. It's the same sort
exactly.
of thing. Exactly. Because my friend got it. I now am sort of surfing off of his success. So everyone's like, thank you, John. Thank you very much. I feel a lot better about letting my dog out at night. So,
well, like, sure. You're the cougar messenger. Do. Yeah, you're the cougar messenger, right. Which is pretty cool. I mean, you are the... You know, the Paul Revere of cougars.
Exactly.
So I think you could take some
known,
credit.
Why not? If I hadn't sent it to them, they would still be living in absolute fear and terror. The biggest part of it is the finding the cougar, tracking the cougar, the high snow. It's really hard, and you have to be really good at making cougar sounds. Sean, can you play a cougar sound for me? They say this is one of the most important. That you have to be really quiet, and then to be able to do these sounds.
Wait, which
sound? You know,
kind of
weird. Sean, what part of it is it?
What part of what? The video?
Is that all the cougars make? That?
Well, this is not the cougar. This is like a fake rabbit that someone set up, and it's an electronic calling. And I didn't know what you meant. You wanted in your text when you sent it to me. You wanted a cougar sound, like a.
I want the sound of a hurt rabbit in a trap. I want there's a sound that you, as a hunter, you're supposed to make a cougar sound.
Oh,
as a
pretty
hunter.
Wimpy cougar.
That's what I was looking for. Let me see if I can find it.
Well, you know, we're moving on. We don't have time for you to futz around. We're on a radio show.
Okay.
How about the lady in Alaska, by the way? I don't know how this happens. The woman explains that she goes out to go to the bathroom. She goes into an outhouse. And what happens next, Sherry?
Unfortunately, she gets a little bite on the butt. She goes screaming to her brother, I just got bitten. And he comes running out with a flashlight. He goes over to the toilet or whatever the pot thing is, and he sees a giant bear face looking up at him. So I guess the bear had found its way around the outhouse, down underneath, and took a chunk out of her butt. She wasn't badly hurt, so we can all be thankful for that.
Was the cougar inside the pit?
Yeah, it was in the it was
in the poopy pit.
We've got clips that were talking about it. Yeah,
hang
normally
on.
When we're out there in the summer or the fall or something, I'm used to shouting "Hey, bear!" the whole way, and it was dead of winter. I didn't think to do that this time.
Sure, your imitation of this woman is horrible.
You said he bit me.
So I got in there and sat down on the toilet seat, and something just immediately bit me in the butt. So I jumped up and screamed.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to open the lid and look. And I take the headlamp and I grab the lid of the toilet seat and I lift it up. And right there, right at the level of the toilet seat, like maybe an inch or two below, is a gigantic bear face looking right back up at me.
Okay, who do you feel more sorry for? Shannon Stevens, the woman who got her butt bitten by a bear, or the bear living in a poop hole?
Well, it occurred to me that the poor bear, you would have thought the bear would have been scared off by, you know, whatever. I mean, it's a poop hole.
There's a way out in the back of the outhouse. There's a rock wall, and there's a way for a creature to get in through that rock wall. And so he probably just pushed the rocks over and got down into the hole.
Oh, I mean, talk about like a desperate place to hibernate. Be like, hey, Larry, where'd you winter? Oh, you know, the rocks that are above the thing. Where were you, Steve? And the bear's like, I found an outhouse. I lived in an outhouse for the winter. That was just so sad.
Now, do you think he bit her because of what she was doing, or do you think he bit her because it was opportunistic and he just happened to see
it? You know? I think it was a cry for help from the bear. Like, help, get me out of here. Is there some other place that I can live, please? Maybe.
Well,
maybe
he chose
he
it.
That...
Don't feel sorry for him. He chose the outhouse.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
In this report, it also talks about the fact that brown bears weigh 500 to 900 pounds and black bears weigh about 200 pounds. So either way, how did he get under there? I mean, this is a giant creature.
Better question. How did it feel?
It felt like just a single, like, puncture. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't even a bite. Like, it might have been a swipe with his claw, potentially. I don't think we'll ever really know that part.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you, I go to the outhouse now because the pipes are frozen and the other thing up the street. So I go over there, I pound on the door, and then I kick the thing like three or four times just to make sure. Because it is an extremely – you are just – your connection to your maker as you're dropping drawer and dropping down on top of that thing, because all the valuable parts that God gave you are in that thing, that hole there, and you don't know what's beneath you. So – put the fear of God into you.
Well, especially now. Are you going to think twice? Are you going to bring a flashlight?
Well, what I normally do is before I get to the hole,
it rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
So that way, if there is a bear or something in there, I lower the thing down.
Wait, you lower what down? You lower what down?
The basket with the lotion in the basket into the hole where the outhouse is. I'm just doing a recall from the other section.
Okay.
Pay no attention to me. I'm just trying to do some radio. By the way, have we reached... this is all tying into more animal stories because now Jacob has us talking about herd immunity. The idea is that has herd immunity been able to be achieved? There is a guy that writes a piece for the Wall Street Journal. He is a doctor. And he studies this and he basically sort of lays out why he believes we have hit the herd immunity, Sherry.
Yeah, so COVID cases are down 77% in the last 6 weeks. Can you believe that? And yes. He said if this were a pill, they'd call it a miracle medication. So what his theory is that there's a lot of natural immunity that's going on because people have been infected and they didn't know it. A lot of people had this virus, had no symptoms. And so he believes that probably we will reach herd immunity by April because of this, because 15% of Americans have been vaccinated. So he thinks that we're getting much closer, but he's sort of been silenced a little bit by his colleagues. Like people don't want him to necessarily go out there and report this because they're afraid that people are going to say, okay, then I don't need to wear a mask. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to use my hand sanitizer. So his theory, I don't buy it for a second. I really don't. I think it's...
He's a doctor, and here's what he sounds like.
So if you think COVID's gone by April... And so many are still waiting for the vaccine. How can you justify that?
Well, first of all, I don't think it'll be gone. I think we'll be at very low levels of infection by April. I mean, extremely low levels. Look at the rate of decline. So we've got about half the country, I estimate 55% based on the sampling capture rate of tested confirmed cases. About 55% of the country has natural immunity. Now add to that vaccinated immunity. 15% of the country by the end of this week, up to 40% of the country by early April. That will kick in. We saw studies today on the effectiveness of the first dose of the vaccine. The first dose alone kicks in, and we're going to see an easier supply distribution given the new finding today that we can use regular freezers instead of minus 80 degree freezers. So vaccinated immunity is going to augment natural immunity.
He also thinks that more people had it than know they had it, so there's a higher level of people that are asymptomatic that got over it inside the general population. Then you have the people that have had it, knew they had it, and gotten over it. That's a big chunk of the population. Then the number of people that are being vaccinated, all of that included, gets in there. You get to the 77. But I guess what he feels is if he makes this news, he said, I don't know why more people are not telling this story. They really should, but maybe they don't want to, because then, as you said, Sherry, people would go, oh, then fine, I don't need to get vaccinated, and they'll pull back too quickly. And I always say, be forthcoming with this news, because if somebody has it, if this guy has it, it's in the Wall Street Journal, people read it, and then they assume people are withholding the news. Don't do that. I don't like when the quote-unquote powers that be manipulate data in order to have us behave a particular way. Give it to us straight. Let us know. Is there a bear in the outhouse? I want to know before I go out there. And Sean, okay. I actually thought, I said Sean would be able to come up. Sean, what would the name, if you had to name that bear, what would the bear's name be?
Oh, I guess I would name him Winnie the Pooh.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
Okay, I thought it was funny.
That's
sorry.
That's shared brain, because earlier in the Dory Monson show, pretty highly rated show, you may have heard of it. There was a texter who had that joke that we read on the air. So I'm just saying, if that person's listening, I didn't do it because you did it.
Okay, well let me say something. I came up with that joke, I thought.
Well, you didn't, John.
You're taking credit for everything today, John. The cougar, Winnie the Pooh, everybody.
Jeez. Wow. Sorry about that, Sean. All right, Tracy Taylor, again, I always feel Tracy steps into always like in an like
the
opening
wrong,
a door. Mom
weird...
and dad have been arguing. Yeah, it's always some weird thing you're stepping into. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's fine. You know, it's no different than my household every single day.
Thanks, Tom. All right, hey, see you Monday. All right.
Sure.
Tom comes in just for that. All right. He's also showing you, Sherry. That's how you professionally broadcast right there.
That is dedication. Yep.
That is. There is a new idea. That's so sad. Because of the lockdowns, people haven't seen their friends in a long time, and you're just supposed to, if you still know how to do it, reconnect with them. This article from Medium is praising a thing called the cold call. Have you ever done any of this?
I haven't, but it's an interesting concept that this woman is trying to talk about. She says that, you know, we don't run into each other anymore. We don't run into so-and-so on the street or anything like that because nobody's going out. So what she does is she regularly just cold calls someone that she hasn't talked to in a long time. And she knows it's kind of nerdy because most people want to text, but she doesn't give anybody warning. She just goes out there and calls them. And she said it gives her some unexpected joy every time somebody picks up and actually wants to talk to her. And she loves to talk on the phone.
Does she do the texting first? The cold call, it has to come in cold. It can't be, hey, can I call you? It has to just,
right.
You just dial it up.
This is not a phone date. This is a cold call. Let me. She even says she goes through her Rolodex of sorts and finds somebody's number and then calls them randomly and just says, you know, hey, how you doing? And she says sometimes she gets a new perspective on things because people might help her with their problems that, you know, a regular friend, she's used to their opinion, but this is a new person's opinion sort of. And she says it's a way to combat the loneliness.
Have you been doing this, or are you just still?
No. 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 I don't want to talk to anybody. No.
Has anybody ever... Obviously, nobody calls you.
Well, I mean, you know, what are you going to talk about? You're not doing anything. I mean, it's I don't really... I mean... No, I don't feel
anything.
Like... It's like, oh yeah, wow. I watered the plants. Yeah, me too. Wow, cool.
Wow, jeez, whiz. My brother and I used to play a game called Your Friend is Suffering. There was a phone in the family room that had a really long cord on it. You remember those good old days, right? The long cord. And what you would do is you would call. Chuck was laying on one couch. I was laying on the other. And then I would just dial the number and then take the receiver and throw it on the floor, on the carpet in between the two of us. And I'd go, hey, Chuck. Hey, your friend is suffering. And then, because you'd hear the person going, hello? And then you would kind of dive down onto the phone like you're jumping onto a fumbled football, and you'd pick it up. Hey, Mark. Hi, how are you? Sorry. My brother and I. And then you didn't have to explain the game. You just go, sorry about that. Yeah, okay. And then you'd hang up on him, right? Sometimes you'd just dial seven numbers at random, and you go, hey, my brother, Vic. Hey, I think your friend is suffering. And I'd hear, hello. And I'd jump down onto the phone. I'd pick it up and go, hello, hello. And the person would say, hello. And I'm like, who's this? Well, who's this? You called me. And I'm like, oh, so it wasn't a friend. See? That's the kind of fun we used to have.
A very weird game. Your friend is suffering. What dark place were you coming from here?
Well, I mean, really suffering that it was on the floor, that the phone was on the floor, and the person was kept saying hello over and over again. It wasn't like you were being kidnapped. Listen, it wasn't a game that we played for a long time. It was just one we kind of broke out. You know, it was an off-season game. We played it in between other sports. Other things. My mom, if you called my mom and you were on the phone with my mom for any more than 3 minutes, she'd yell out, "Phonehead." Or hot ear. Hot ears was her ear was getting hot, and she would just hang up on you. So you'd be on the phone with her, and you're like, yeah. Like, so anyway, Mom, yeah. And then you'd just hear her go, she goes, oh, I got something I want to say to you. And she'd just hang up on you. That was the thing.
That's so great.
No more than 3 minutes. Or you'd call up, and she'd go, hello. And you go, hey, Mom. And you go say something. She goes, you got anything else? And you're like, no. And then she goes, oh, you want to hear something interesting? And hang up on me.
See, my mother talked on the phone constantly.
So you know what that's like. Maybe she was Japanese. The head of the Olympic Committee, I think he's like 187 years old. That might be a typo. And he said the reason he doesn't want women at meetings because women talk too much. At meetings. And then somebody said, hey, you can't say that. And he's like, yeah, why not? I'm 87. He has now stepped down from his post, and they are now going to try to make amends for it and have more women at meetings. I saw the research. Basically, nothing supports the idea. If you have six men in a room, women speak 30% less. If you have even more men in a room, women even speak less. So this guy thinks women speak too much in meetings. Sherry, have you found that guys talk more than women in meetings?
I think so, yes. I think men definitely want to hear themselves talk more, and they absolutely want to be able to get their ideas out there, whereas women tend to hold back a little bit more. I mean, it depends, but yeah, I think men talk more in meetings. And he said that the meetings go on too long because women are talking too much.
Yes. I also looked up to see who talks on the phone more. Women talk 30% more than men as far as more time, but men make more calls. But the calls themselves are shorter. I guess they're calling my mom. She's being hung up on.
They also say that talking calms women, but it agitates men. Like, too much talking agitates men.
Oh, yeah. And I have become the annoying guy that calls people. And then when they have to say, hey, I gotta let you go.
Yeah, look at the time. Gosh, gotta get out there. Walk the dog.
Hey, I gotta let you go.
That's you that says that?
No, they do that to me, and then I look down at my phone, and it can see. You can see how long. It was like a 1 hour and 43 minute call, and I'm sure they're like, "Oh, that's they're never going to talk to me again if I ever call."
I hate talking on the phone.
Really?
Yeah, I hate it. Send me a text message. If you want a response from me, don't call me. Send me a text message.
I'm with Tracy on that.
Here's my dad on the phone with me one time, going on and on.
Hey, you like chocolate? They like vanilla. You like summer? They like winter. Okay? You get my point?
And he kept... Yeah, I get your point, Dad. And he would go on. And the analogies on and on the opposite. Hey, some people like, you know... And at this point, you're thinking, oh, maybe he's run out of him. Hey, some people like contact paper inside their kitchen drawers. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my God. Wow.
Do you ever put the phone down and just walk away?
Oh, yeah. And then normally he'll say something like this. They're talking about somebody who's died.
Hey, Michael, he was dead before he hit the floor.
Oh, boy.
Right, and then
And hey, that's what happens to you. You ground in your own fluid.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's always talking about people drowning in their own fluid. And when you pick the phone back up, you're like, who, Dad? Who? All right. What's happening after Tracy Taylor? There we go with Bucky's Auto Service Centers for 16 locations. They've been around for 50 years, making sure they do a great job taking care of your car. All right, people are like, who's this woman? I don't know who she is. I don't know if I like her or not. Is she a Democrat? Is she Republican? Who's this woman? Talk about you, Sherry.
Oh, me? Oh.
They can't figure you out. So,
no. All right. That's being a woman.
Do a better do a better job. Introduce her. Okay, here we go. Ready?
You should have been gone. Knowing how I made you feel. And I should have been gone.
Remember, her name is Sherry. That's what it's meant.
After all your...
You've probably heard Sherry's unique vocal talent, featured on radio and television for over 25-year career media personality and voiceover artist. Her radio show, The Sherry Elder Show, on WBAL in Baltimore, earned her the Associated Press Award Best Talk Show, Chesapeake Region 2 years in a row. She's also recipient of the 2 AIR Awards, Achievement for Radio, and her recognized personality of the top radio stations of WJFK DC 101 and WHFS in Washington, D.C., and Sirius XM. Say hello to Sherry.
Well done. Thank you.
I want to get the part where he says, Sherry, but I mistimed it.
That's okay. You did a great job.
Thanks. And you're also very encouraging there. Yeah, and then you also told me that you're a horrible bowler, and I think you came in third in a hamburger eating contest or something.
Yeah, there were only 3 people, but we had a McDonald's hamburger eating contest. I ate 4 hamburgers, which was a lot. But guess who won the contest? David Wiener.
That doesn't seem right, does it? He should have disqualified himself. You work with a couple of crazy radio. Weren't you with Don and Mike?
Don and Mike, yes. I was with them for 4 years, yes. And live to tell about it.
And they would belittle you constantly on the air. I used to listen to those guys when I was in D.C., so I used to hear you. Because you were doing traffic, right?
I was doing the traffic for them, yes. And my on-air name for them was Sherry Liquor.
That's right.
Remember? Yes. And, they used to have a bit where they would talk about meteorologists or weather people. And they would say that their idea was for every forecast they got, a meteorologist got wrong, it would take a digit off their hand, a pinky finger, a ring finger, whatever. That was their idea.
And you were?
Sherry Liquor.
Sherry Liquor. Tracy Taylor, not your real name. What's traffic?
No, actually it is, but...